Welcome to the Love the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 through the fan in Dallas. Joined as always by former NFL scout Brian Broaddus, the Super Bowl winner. He is now the pre and post game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. And he is ours right here for the next 40 minutes or so. Brian Broaddus, how are you?
I'm doing well, Robert. Thank you very much, man. Nice to have a weekend of not sweating a game for your Dallas Cowboys. Didn't have to sweat an LSU game, so actually a really good football weekend for me. But didn't do me any good to watch the Detroit Lions play last night, knowing that's going to be an opponent in the next couple of weeks. So a lot going on in the football world, a lot going on for the Dallas Cowboys as they get ready here for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, it was nice to kind of change things up and actually sit and consume football without having to, you know, worry about Cowboys game coming up or anything else. But let's talk about that Cowboy game. I know the last time that we had a chance to talk would have been right after it was just the immediate post game thoughts from the Giants game. We've got injuries to dive into, a new defensive end, some different things. But let's just talk about when you went back and watched the game against the Giants, was there anything that you took away from it said, man, I feel differently about this than I did in the immediate aftermath? Or, I thought this was better, or this was worse, or this was more concerning. What were some of your big takeaways when you saw the film back?
Yeah, that's boy, that seemed like ages ago, but here we go. Yeah, that's what Thursday football will do for you. The thing that I was really happy for Mozzie Smith in a way of how critical we all seem to be of him in the media. And you hear the word busts and, you know, a lot of people throwing things out, throwing a lot of dirt on Mozzie Smith. Really happy for him for at least 1 week for him to play the way that he did. I think he's capable of carrying this thing over. You know, I think John Michael Smith's the center for the Giants is not a bad center, pretty athletic center. But that was like some old school Big Ten crime there with the Michigan man beating up on the Minnesota man a little bit.
Yeah.
And, but good for Mozzie Smith. Hopefully he could continue to play at a high level. You know, how could you not, you know, think about what happened injury-wise, you know, with Parsons and then with Tank. There are things with the offense. It still looks like to me that I've never seen, I shouldn't say never. It just, I use this statement as this offense. It seems like or appears that everybody else you watch in the league finds ways to move the ball, and they look pretty smooth doing it, and it looks pretty, you know. Dallas seems like they're always fighting for every yard they get. Nothing comes easy for them with the way they play. And, you know, we could talk about scheme. We could talk about players. We could talk about a lot of things. But it just – it doesn't – look as, and I'm, it's not even the word clean, because you got a rookie left tackle, you know, and it's not going to be pretty with him. You got a rookie center, and you know there's going to be problems. There's going to be problems with the right tackle. There'll be problems with the right guard. You know, you don't really the running backs. I mean, you don't create a lot of space. But here we are. You know, it just seems like it. Every yard is a struggle, and I don't know, you know, and I'm waiting for that to change, and maybe it won't change after looking at that. I also felt like defensively, though, Bob, that the if the Giants completed some deep balls, you probably would have lost that football game.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you were down to your, you know, fifth, sixth corner, and it's tough. And but, you know, Diggs on the other side, and you know, fortunately, he made the play that helped you get off the field there on that fourth down, but then you missed the field goal. You know, that was a problem. I mean, the field goal kicker's been great, don't get me wrong, but, man, you just got so used to him knocking those things home. But, yeah, it's, you know, the Giants, they couldn't run the ball worth a damn. Good for Dallas. And they couldn't connect on deep passes. Again, good for Dallas, or that game might have gone another direction.
when we talk about the Cowboys offense, and this is a broader topic for moving forward and hopefully something they're spending the next 10 days on, I don't know what's happened to the deep passing game. I don't know if it's just a lack of trust in being able to protect with young guys, or what are some of the things they're trying to do with some of their route concepts that are different. But Brian, he didn't attempt a pass Dak Prescott over 20 yards in this game. The first time that's happened since October of 2018. So that was the pre-Amari Cooper trade, when everybody was just like, what in the world is going on with these receivers in this offense? So a little bit of an oddity in that sense. But when we look at the passing game and what they're doing, Brandon Cooks is supposed to be the vertical guy. And I don't know if, and they haven't always used him that way. They've used him at times in for a lot of comebacks and slants and different things. But I don't know if it's he's hurt or he's declining or what's going on. But Brandon Cooks, those Giants DBs to me did not look like they were threatened by the speed the same way defensive backs have typically been. One of the big advantages Cooks has always had is ability to threaten with the speed, attack it really aggressively, be able to stop on a dime, come back, attack the football, and then have space. And it looks like it's taken him longer to get that, like that stop start ability doesn't look as strong as it has in years past. It doesn't look like teams are threatened the same way by the vertical speed. What are you seeing in the vertical passing game right now, or the lack of it? And is there anything that's giving you pause about Cooks like I've got right now?
I reached out to folks because I knew you were concerned about Cooks. I reached out to see if he is banged up or there's something that we're missing here. I think, and I don't want to use the tackle in the center or the line as an excuse, but you've opened up a different line of thinking where Mike McCarthy might be not be completely confident to throw the ball down the field, or the quarterback might not be totally confident to throw the ball down the field with this offensive line. Now, if you don't have confidence in the tackle, here's the flip side of that. Why do you have him almost 90% of the time one-on-one over there?
Yep.
You know, so there's something clearly not right. I would have used the excuse of, well, the offensive line, rookie tackle, rookie center, you know, offense right tackle at times doesn't always get his blocks. The right guard, you know, plays at a nice level, but no longer the player that he once was. You know, there's some excuses you can use with the offensive line, but they surely don't do anything to help Guyton over there. At least they didn't in that game against the Giants. And usually the teams that are, you look at the Saints, you know, the deep ball that they hit, the touchdown over the top between your two safeties. Usually the Cowboys' way of getting the ball down the field is run max protection. Yeah. And they usually keep, you know, they'll keep a couple tight ends in, and they'll make sure that thing's blocked up, and they'll give Dak the opportunity to throw the ball. Haven't seen that very much. You know, haven't seen that. So game plan, maybe they didn't feel like that they could throw the ball down the field against the Giants. I'll be interested when after our show, I get started on the Steelers and, you know, get the, you know, later in the week when we break them down, we'll have a little bit better understanding of what they might be. But they just don't, you know, if Cooks is banged up, he sure isn't leading on like he's banged up. And maybe somebody admit to us that he is.
Was it the Baltimore game? Heading into the Baltimore game, he popped up with that knee issue in the middle of the week out of nowhere.
And Bobby, I can't tell you what I had for lunch.
I think that was Baltimore. That was the Baltimore game. And if it was, then that's also short week. Maybe it was a little tougher on him than they thought. But yeah. I thought it was interesting because I asked Jerry on Tuesday on 105 Through the Fan on Sean and RJ. I asked him about Cooks, and I said, you know, his confidence level in the receivers behind Lamb. And he answered, he said, we've got depth there. But then he said, we'll see if he's out there, or we'll see if he's able to go this Sunday.
Yeah.
And I just went, okay, did he think I was talking about Dalvin Cook? Because we just finished Dalvin Cook questions. And that happened.
But you get confusion.
And so that can happen. He hears a bunch of questions about Dalvin Cook and then one about Cooks. I could see it maybe being something that he caught off guard, but it made me go, okay, either he missed something about Dalvin Cook, or we're going to see that injury report on Wednesday, which this is dropping Wednesday morning. We're going to see that injury report on Wednesday, and Brandon Cooks might be on it, which would at least honestly make me feel a little better, Brian, and make me feel a little better about what I'm seeing from Brandon Cooks. Because like I said, against the Giants, he wasn't getting any separation against a secondary that was pretty banged up.
Yeah, but you know what? This is where I'll defend Brandon Cooks a little bit, because there has been time where if in fact he is banged up and is playing about 75 or 80%, there have been times where Brandon Cooks has been healthy and they haven't got him the ball, you know, that it's been a problem getting him the ball. We call for creativity. We call for motion. We call for all these things. Mike McCarthy gets asked questions. Jerry Jones gets asked questions about this. You know, creative play in the game. Cooks runs route behind Ferguson clearing through. You know, all of a sudden now it's secondary having to deal with tight end running vertically and then receiver behind with a two-way go with ability to cut in or out, and then they find a way to get him the ball. You know, where is that? You know, why is that a one-time thing? Why isn't that not an every-time thing? Why is that not, and it doesn't have to be Ferguson. It could be Schoonmaker. It could be, you know, now that they play span forward all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, poor John Stevens, you know, I mean, you know, his, you know, and you ask the folks, oh, no, he's healthy. He's ready to go. I'd sure like to see John Stevens play. I try and watch Span Ford. Hell, I try and watch Schoonmaker. Hell, I try and watch all these guys, you know, but it just seems very strange right now that they can't get John Stevens on this field. But I'm just saying from a tight end, a combination routes with wide receivers. Yes. Give me more of that. Give me more of guys, you know, playing off each other, you know, in routes, and guys, you know, like I said earlier, Bobby, every other team I peered away, and not every team in the NFL moves the football, but the ones that are really good at it, they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch because you see them create space for their guys. This quarterback, I shouldn't say nobody because I need to do research before I say this, but I'll say it. I would guarantee you that near the bottom of guys that have to make, guys that have to make tight window throws in this game, I guarantee you Dak Prescott's top three when it comes to guys that have to consistently make tight windows throws in their offense.
I've got this number for you, Brian. Dak is first in tight window passing rate in the NFL.
Yeah.
And his receivers are tied for last in average target separation.
Okay. Thank you for being on the spot. I appreciate you doing that. First in tight window throws, last in separation. Who is that on?
Yeah.
Is that on? And listen, you know, I'm going to say there's not a, you know, there are guys on this receiving core that can run a little bit. You know, are they Hill and others? No, they're not. But okay, if you have a receiving core that struggles with separation, why would you not try and create separation for them?
Yeah. Let's keep this going really quickly. I got to remind everybody, you are listening to the Love of the Star podcast. Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.